This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2197. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded June 29th, Andorra, Antarctica, Argentina, Australia, Canada, Colombia, Congo, Cuba, Europe, Guam, International Waters, Mali, New Zealand, North America, Singapore, Spain, Turkey, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. From Christian Gibodo on the British DX Club, news about the next monthly broadcast of Radio Andorra, Sunday, July 2nd. It's a souvenir program. Daniel Pioen is taking part. He was, for more than 10 years, the man of programs for young people on the competing Sud Radio. Started in 1970 on Radio Andorra, and he moderated the morning shows and sports broadcasts. Duration not specified, but maybe 1 hour. Sunday, July 2nd at 16 UT on 6005, and rebroadcast at 19 on 3985. Those are the low-power frequencies via Call Germany. The first airing is also available on Mixcloud and their website, www.aquiradioandorra.com, under Sound Archives. I've seen no reports of LRA 36 Antarctica for Saturday, June 24th, and when I tried to hear it on Wednesday, June 28th, no signal then, on 15475.98, reduced carrier USB. Supposedly it's on Wednesdays and Saturdays, roughly 18 to 21 UT. About RAI Argentina relays via WRMI, weekdays at 01 UT, on Wednesday, June 28th, on 9395, at 0118 I was hearing their DX program, seemingly quoting some items from Manuel Mendez. They sounded familiar. But on 9455 at the very same time, there was a different RIE English episode, not about DX. Those are two different systems from WRMI carrying two different episodes of RIE in English. According to the RMI schedule, 9455 at that time was supposed to be carrying the second hour of Legends. Matt Francis forwards some press about the future of Radio Australia and ABC. From Guardian, the headline is ABC's international budget should grow as China spends billions on information war, an inquiry is told. China is spending billions to win the information war in the region, a committee inquiry has heard, and greater funding for the ABC would allow it to be a stronger presence in Asia-Pacific. Claire Gorman, ABC's head of international services, told the inquiry, into supporting democracy in the region that China is spending at least $3 gigadollars a year on international media, compared with $11 megadollars for the ABC. Extra funding due to roll out from July means the national broadcaster stands ready to do more to advance democracy, civil society, and peace, she said. We could do a lot more with a higher level of funding if we were to be funded at the same per capita basis as BBC World Service. The ABC's funding would sit at about $270 megadollars a year. The Australia Asia Pacific Media Initiative, AAPMI, said that China was taking control of media in the Pacific, had taken over Radio Australia's shortwave frequencies, had more correspondents, more outlets, and more control of local media. And that's about the only mention of shortwave in this article. And another story via Matt Francis, this from the editor of the Australian newspaper on 26 June, James Madden. Ian McNamara's All Over Australia program has been pulled from ABC Radio's international service, its most popular weekend radio show. The much-loved and long-running Sunday morning program will continue to air on ABC local radio stations, but has been dumped from Radio Australia, the international service broadcasting across the Pacific, of course, but not on shortwave. McNamara had been the permanent host of Australia All Over since 1985, especially popular with Australian expats in the Pacific. The show has a rural focus. Listeners encouraged to call McNamara and discuss their everyday experiences in the bush. A senior ABC manager told the program staff they had decided to go in another direction, wanted to put more emphasis on celebrating Pacific voices. Since CFVP 6030 Calgary has been turned off, the only remaining Canadian shortwave station is 6070 CFRX Toronto. When I tuned by June 26th at 0535, they were broadcasting dead air. Furthermore, at the very same time, Mexico's only remaining shortwave station, XEPPM on 6185, was also in dead air. Not unusual for it, but it is for CFRX, which has since resumed. Mild under Colombia, but it could be Venezuela, about station 4940. Rafael Rodriguez reported on the Cadena de X Facebook group via Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil that the 4940 station has recently been including a broadcast in an indigenous language, about 2320 to 2340 UT. It seems to be Piaroa, P-I-A-R-O-A, which according to Wikipedia is an indigenous people in the shores of the Orinoco and tributary rivers in Venezuela and some areas of Colombia. About 20,000 people. Otherwise, of course, it's in Spanish with music and religious programming. Manuel Menes in Spain has another log of what is believed to be a pirate in Colombia, although it's operating rather openly. Organización Radial El Prado on 6016.7, heard June 28th at 0426 with Colombian songs. At 4:41, the Colombian national anthem, and closed down at 0442, a very weak signal. Manuel Mendez also reports on Congo 6115, Radio Congo in Brazzaville. It normally closes around 18:30, I think, but on June 27th it was much extended. It finally went off the air at 20:21. They had African songs, some songs in English, and seemed to be talking about a football game. That may have been the reason they extended the broadcast on that day only, as Ron Howard also suggests. Before closing, there was an extensive news bulletin in French, starting at 2000 UT. I continue to hear Radio Havana, Cuba, with an extended broadcast after 06 UT on 9700, 11670, or 11760. You never know which one. Usually in English, but sometimes in Spanish, and sometimes none of those. Something's always wrong at RHC. Here's some publicity too far in advance. We hope they'll remind us the week before, but Free Radio Service Holland, or FRS, says they're doing another summer splash. 3 weeks in a row, a two-hour broadcast on Sundays, July 23rd, 30th, and August 6th, starting at 18:59 UT. Thematic programs, including various radio-related items. Frequencies will be 6185, 7700, and 5800, or 5790. Depending on where there's less interference. Sungchul Cho in South Korea heard a KTWR program in Korean on 17895, very poor reception, from 14 to 1428 UT. But could this be a substitute site rather than Guam, which was hit by a typhoon? Wolfgang Büschel points out that IRRS has registered such a broadcast, 14 to 1430 on 17895, so it could be via Romania. Among the huge press coverage about the implosion of the Titan submersible off Newfoundland, as a communications person, I kept wondering how they had been communicating. It must have been wireless, since there was no direct cable connection with a mother ship. Shore stations employ VLF to penetrate somewhat underwater, so could this have been on VLF? But that surely would not be very efficient. Reports said they were in contact via texting, which implies some kind of internet. Wi-Fi may be in the air everywhere, though I never use it, but certainly not underwater. But anyhow, that would use radio frequencies. Could it be sonar? That method does work underwater for tracking, but how about actual communication? Don Moen in Alberta replies, it was sonar. Any RF does not get very far in salt water, even VLF and ELF, so choices are limited, and the speed of data even more so. And then he quotes this from somewhere about communication and rescue efforts. The Titan would have had an acoustic link with its surface vessel, set up through a transponder, a device for receiving a sonar signal on its end, and a transceiver, which can both transmit and receive communications on the surface vessel. This link allows for underwater acoustic positioning, and for short text messages to be sent back and forth to the surface vessel. But the amount of data that can be shared is limited, and usually includes basic telemetry and status info. Roger Tower in Germany replies further, this is done by means of digitally coded signals via sonar. exact frequency parameters unknown. In any case, audio, not radio frequencies, probably below 500 hertz. He also links to a surface demonstration of an underwater communications device and what it may sound like. There were some digital bursts of a few seconds, not loud enough for us really to hear, from an Android smartphone in a waterproof pouch. Radio Mali can be easily heard on its night frequency, 5995, but Manuel Mendez in Spain says its day frequency, 9635, has now been reactivated. He heard it June 27th from 1528 until off at 1759 UT. With African songs, IDs in French, an interval signal and closed down at 1759, and also heard at 0801 to 0933 on June 28th. That is, 9635 used just after and just before 5995. Tony Pavick in BC says, I was lucky enough to catch some WeFax, that is, facsimile weather maps, from ZKLF, Wellington, New Zealand, just in time as their service is shutting down on the 1st of July. He says they have one 5-kilowatt transmitter on a rotating set of frequencies. They start out on 5807, 15 minutes later, 9459, 30 minutes later, 13550.5, and 45 minutes later on 3247.4 and 16340.1. There are different maps at different hours, scheduled twice a day. I'll just give the first one, and the other one is 12 hours later. At midnight, 01, 2, 3, 4, 9, 10, and 11 UT. 3247.4 is used only at night on 0945 to 17 UT, and 16340.1 in the daytime at 2145 until 0500. The others are used at all broadcast times. Walt Salmoniv in BC replies, many thanks for letting us know that an old friend, ZKLF in Wellington, is leaving the air on 1 July. I monitored them on June 28th and got a very nice copy at 0445, on 16340.1. At the bottom of the weather map, there is a caption saying they are closing down as of July 1st. Now about that North American pirate on 7400. Missing for a while, but June 28th at 0643. Had a just barely audible carrier on 7400. I suspect that was it with his few watts or whatever. Ron Howard in California says, heard on 7400 a.m., June 28th. After 0508 UT, mostly music, brief ID, before being played. One of the challenges to reception is that he plays a lot of soft, non-descriptive instrumental music. About every 15 minutes, a segment with very distinctive child and man speaking Russian, but not airing a segment with a Russian interval signal and IDs, or political spot about the socialist revolution. Walt Salmon of NBC says, I'm wondering whether the operator has increased power. I can now easily see the carrier on 7400 at 0358, a good hour before sunset. Then Ron forwards a reply he received from Radio Eastern Star and former Radio Pushka, June 29th at 0900. Yes, I've increased power to 50 watts carrier. Now I can get under 200 watts PEP. And he goes on to tell about his MOSFETs and what he's doing to modify his equipment. He says, I took the political ID off the Japanese segment. It only plays on Friday and Saturday nights now. Via International Vacuum, Internet, AM, FM, and Shortwave, World of Radio 2197. A non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Thanks this week for financial support from Ron Howard in Monterey, California, for a check in memory of Noel Green. He says, I remember all the times he helped me with Radio Pakistan Info. He was an official monitor in the UK. A money order or check on a U.S. bank goes to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702, or via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Now about the BBC Singapore Relay. Eike Bierwert in Germany says, the latest HFCC registration file of June 21st shows some new Oman frequencies for BBC starting 15 or 16 July. They appear to be planned as replacements for transmissions currently coming from Singapore, which would somewhat support recent rumors about a pending closure of the Singapore relay site. Those registrations have not been modified. Data still given until 29 October, but that may happen later. Here are the new Oman frequencies starting 16 July. 9550 17 to 19 in Darien Pashto. Singapore has been on 11735. 11685 at 13 to 14 in English, currently in use by Singapore. 11995 14 to 17 in Darien Pashto, also currently Singapore. 17515 1330 to 14 in Burmese, possibly replacing one of the Singapore outlets on 7465 or 9585. And more frequencies registered to start 16 July. It seems to replace a Singapore registration. It looks like they are indeed in process of finding replacements for Singapore and registering them step by step. Here they are. 5875 Tinian in Korean, Monday to Friday at 1530 to 16, and 1630 to 17 in Korean, both replacing 12095 Singapore. Then there's 6195 from Yerevan, Armenia, at 17 to 19 in Darien Pashto, conflicting with the current 6195 Oman in English, to enable the new 9550 from Oman in this time period, perhaps. Maybe English will move to 5970, currently used by Oman for Darien Pashto. 9410 Tashkent at 01 to 02 English for South Asia, replacing Singapore 17790. 13630 Tashkent, 1330 to 14 in Burmese, in addition to Oman 17515, these two will replace 7465 and 9585. And finally, 15185 Tashkent at 08 to 09 in English DRM to South Asia, replacing Singapore 17720. But this is still speculation based on appearance of new registrations in combination with previous rumors. Vin Luce in Houston, Texas replies, "This could be a phased shutdown of the Singapore facility, as its transmitters are taken out of service and broadcasts transferred elsewhere. It's also possible the remaining transmissions are simply discontinued." Kai Ludwig had speculated that the station was already being dismantled. Note that between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. local time in Singapore, there are only 2 hours of transmissions, the 01 UT beam to South Asia on 17790 and the DRM at 08 UT on 17720. This would allow for work being done on the station closure. The Singapore relay has been operating at less than 13% of its total time capacity, so it's extremely inefficient to continue. Kai Ludwig says the easiest explanation for such a scenario would be a reduction in staffing. These old transmitters need manual intervention, at least for frequency changes, where if they are not confined to within the same band, even heavy components have to be wheeled out and in. But I would first wait if perhaps further bookings on third-party facilities have just not been posted yet, and the appearance of this Oman data is indeed the first sign of an imminent closure. Stephen Luce replies, "I agree with Kai Luce that any leased transmissions replacing Singapore are likely still in the process of being worked out. I'm still getting good reception of BBC World Service via Singapore on 9410 at 11 UT, with 6195 a poor alternative. Fair to poor on 11695 at 12 UT, while 11685 at 13 UT is hit or miss depending on propagation conditions. I continue to listen most of the time to the token English broadcasts from Spanish National Radio, which are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 22 to 2230 UT on 17855 to North America. Also 15520 to the Mideast often comes in well here off the back of its beam. Just to look at the feature topics on Friday, June 23rd, there was an interview with a woman bass player of the Tenerife Symphony about the malady dystonia, which is a neurological movement disorder, involuntary muscle contractions that can cause slow repetitive movements or abnormal postures that can be painful. That's according to Wikipedia. It's a malady which can be quite a problem for professional musicians. On Monday, June 26th, topic was LGBT rights in Spain. Yes, just those four letters. Of course, their right wing is against them. On Wednesday, June 28th, more about that, an interview with the owner of an LGBTIQ plus bookstore in today's preferred initialism. Unfortunately, the English broadcast to us from the Voice of Turkey is at the same time as Spain, 22 UT on 11785. It's supposed to be every day, but not always, sometimes totally off the air. Here are some of the topics I've heard on June 23rd about a collection of 16,000 Chinese pieces at the Topkapi Palace. At first I did not understand the bad accented announcer, and she was pronouncing it Palace. That's Topkapi with no dot on the I. It's in Istanbul with a dot, even on a capital I. On June 25th, it was not on the air at the start, but was on when I rechecked at 22:28. I've noted their time signal at the top of the hour can run very late, like 17 seconds after the real 2200 on June 27th. And on June 28th, no signal at all. On June 27th, Ben Cobb tells us, DPA MAC continues to push the FCC for an international broadcast license, restating the business relationships between its various parts or partners. DPA MAC claims these arrangements are non-public and highly sensitive. This redacted document refers to program airtime. The proposed station's airtime will, however, probably be devoted largely to trading data for private clients instead of radio programs in the usual sense. The putative airtime customer, RAFT, R-A-F-T, is an Israeli company that develops HF links for the financial industry. And he links to an FCC document about this. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard has been trying to monitor Radio Tarma Peru on 4775, but noting interference from CODAR. Not only that swooshing, but the Morse code IDs it runs periodically, and he sent me some recordings. One morning, these were around 11 UT, and he says a surprising development on June 28th. I heard 10 CODAR CW IDs between 0656 and 0726. I've listened to these over and over, playing back at half speed to make it easier, and the call sign is WRPV785. That's Whiskey Romeo Papa Victor 785. However, part of the time, the last two numbers are missing, apparently erroneous sending, since there is no such call sign as merely WRPV7. We look this up at FCC info via radioreference.com and find this one is licensed to the University of California at Davis. The licensee status is active and it's effective from March 23, 2022 for 10 years, expiring in 2032. This applies to five different locations north of San Francisco. The power is 40 watts each, and even their exact street addresses are provided in case anyone would like to visit them. The info also says the radio service is land mobile radio location. The HF radar systems are operated by scientists specializing in radio wave oceanography at Bodega Marine Laboratory, with federal funding from NOAA IOOS made available to the Central and Northern California Observing System. One of the new times for World of Radio I mentioned last week has already been replaced by something else. You will not hear us Sunday at 21:30 on 15770. WMLK in Pennsylvania continues to be heard on its new frequency 15150 overnight, scheduled from 04 until 09 UT. When I was first hearing it, it was extremely strong, as you would expect if it's really 300 kilowatts. But June 27th, 0649, it was not up to par, only S6 to S8. And on the 28th, it was just barely audible here, but it must have been propagation since it was still booming into Europe, according to David J. Morris in the British DX Club. I was still hearing KVOH in California, June 26th, at 0509 UT with gospel music on 9975. But it soon became clear that was its last hour on the air forever. Shortly afterwards, Joe Jacobs notified us that that was its final broadcast, as will be detailed in AWR Wavescan. Dino Blois of Frequencia Al Dia, which had been carried on KVOH, also reported it was over. I had been hearing rumors of impending doom for them for some time. It seems if its own transmitter is no longer usable, and if the Talos wish to continue their ministry and could afford it, buying a few hours on existing U.S. shortwave stations would serve the purpose, such as WRMI or even WTWW. George McClintock had been trying to make a deal for KVOH to buy WTWW, but it did not work out. It also seems KVOH has a problem with the lease running out for the property it has been using in California. There was nothing immediately about this on the KVOH website. Kai Ludwig says looks like a rapid closure, not only for shortwave. Their program grid had been updated 15 June, Now the program output is gone altogether, and the web stream deleted, producing an error message. It also looks as if there's no revival of transmissions to West Africa intended. They had been erased from the program schedule, from Zambia, that is, the latest version of 1st June. The Zambia station is no longer used in the morning, leaving the complete schedule there as 14 to 16 on 6065 and 16 to 21 on 4965. In the WRTH FB group, via the British DX Club, Michelle Bradley says, "The KVOH site is in the Chatsworth Hills, northwest San Fernando Valley. I used to live within a few miles of this site, and I have fond childhood memories of listening to 17775 coming in like a local. Much of the land will be developed. Arrangements have been made to keep their low-power FM station, the first ever LPFM booster, which I was able to get for them, on the air. It helps improve KWSV LP's coverage into the San Fernando Valley. Yes, an American shortwave station can also own an LPFM station. The land where the shortwave facility is will eventually be developed. Unknown yet if KVOH will reappear at a different location. But overall, at a hilltop location, this was America's most unusual shortwave facility." And she attaches the official press release about this, which we've been unable to find on their own website. I quote it in part, "After 38 years of gospel broadcasting, KVOH, the Voice of Hope, signed off the airwaves Sunday, June 25th at 10:30 p.m. local time on 9975. The last hour of KVOH began with a message from the late founder, George Otis, Sr. He described the vision God gave to him for the radio station to carry salvation message of JC to listeners in Cuba, Mexico, Central and South America, as well as the U.S. and Canada. KVOH signed on the air in November of 1986. In 2013, the radio station was given to Otis' daughter, Heather, and son-in-law John Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-E, leading the Strategic Communications Group for 26 years. They continued with the help of their VP of Programming, Ray Robinson, and their chief engineer, Jim Schaffner, for the last 11 years. They feel they leave not on a low note, but a high, sweet one, in that the gospel was preached well even on their final broadcast through this incredible and powerful means of dissemination." Mike Sanborn and Paul Walker send this news from allaccess.com. Alpha Media is breaking up News Talk simulcast of KNZR AM and FM in Bakersfield, California. FM continuing the format and AM flipping to Spanish News Talk with the conservative lineup of Americano Media as KNZR Verdad 1560 as of June 29th. It seems like 1560 in Bakersfield was originally 50 kilowatts when it was KMPC, but now it's listed as only 25 kilowatts day and 10 kilowatts directional at night. Radio Vanuatu was missing from 7260 and all other possible frequencies, Tony Rogers and I note, as of June 28th, but resumed on June 29th. Ron Howard was hearing 7260 at 07 to 715 with news, sports, and weather in Bislama. He says 7260 has been doing very well, but I do not believe there's been a power increase. The propagation outlook from SWPC. Geomagnetic field expected to reach active G1 minor storm levels on July 12th, with ANK indices of 20 and 5, and even more so on July 13th, moderate levels, ANK indices of 30 and 6, and lesser peaks of 12 and 4 on July 1st, 2nd, and 8th. Solar flux rising from 130 July 1st to a peak of 175 starting July 14th. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors, Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2197 with a standard disclaimer.